Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the island of Jambudweep, text number 28. Yadi atra na swarga sukha avashishitam avasheshitam su ishtasya su uktasya kritasya shobanam tena ajanabe smriti mat janma na syat varshe hari yat bhajatam sham tanoti yad yatra yana swarga sukha visheshitam shvistasya suktasya kritasya shovanam tena janabe smritama janmana syad Varshe harir yad bhajatam sham tanoti yad yatra nak swarga sukha vaveshitayam shvitasya suktasya kritasya shobanam tena janabe smriti maljanmanak Varshe harir yad bhajatam sham tanoti Ladies. Tasya suktasya kritasya shobanam. Tatave sritatvam vajasya. She harir yad bhajatam shamnoti. Yadi if. Yatra in this heavenly planet. Naha of us, swarga, sukha, avisheshitam. Whatever remains after the enjoyment of heavenly happiness. Su ishtasya, of a perfect sacrifice. Su uktasya, of diligently studying the Vedic literature. Kritasya, of having performed a kind of act. Shobanam, the resultant actions. Tena, by such a resultant action. Ajanabe, in the land of Bhardvarsha. Smriti Matjanama, a birth, enabling one to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Naha avas, syat, let there be, barshe, in the land, hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat, therein, bhajan, bhajatam, of the devotees, sham, tanoti, expands the auspiciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We're now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bhardvarsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bhardvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Please repeat. We are now living in the heavenly planets. Undoubtedly, as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bhardvarsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bhardvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Purport. It is certainly as a result of pious activities that one takes birth in the heavenly planets. But from these planets, one must nevertheless come down again to earth, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Shine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Even the demigods must return to earth to work like ordinary men when the results of their pious activities expire. Nevertheless, the demigods' desire to come to the land of Bhardvarsha, if even a small proportion of their merits or their pious activities remains. In other words, to take birth in Bhardvarsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods. In Bhardvarsha, one is naturally Krishna conscious, and if one further cultivates his Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back home, back to Godhead. In many other places in the Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bhardvarsha. Foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities, but even the demigods from the heavenly planets want to come to Bhardvarsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly says, Varta bhumite haila manusha janmayar janma sartaka karikara parupakara. Human being born in the land of Bharatvarsha has a special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in Bharatvarsha should take lessons from the Shastras and Guru and should fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness. By taking full advantage of Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Yanti madhyajino pimam. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so that people may associate with pure devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So the text again, yadyatrena swarga sukhavasheshitam Kristasya suktasya kritasya shovanam tena janabe smriti majanma naksyad varshe harir yad bhajatam shamtanoti. Now, we are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will be one day will be finished. We pray at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharatvarsha as human beings, able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bharatvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarne. Here in this verse it mentions that we should become aware of our good fortune. Of course, our good fortune is not simply the fact that we've taken birth in some country like America, but the good fortune is that we've taken birth in a land where we can become most easily Krishna conscious. Of course, unless we're conscious of Krishna, we can't really understand the value of being Krishna conscious. Therefore, in order to help people understand the value of Krishna consciousness, Krishna has come 5,000 years ago and displayed his pastimes. And 500 years ago, he again came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also displayed his pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada came within recent times and also distributed Krishna consciousness around the world. Fortunately, whether we were present 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago or during Prabhupada's time, that the very sound vibrations describing the pastimes of the Lord and his pure devotees are not different from the Lord, his pastimes, and the pure devotees. That one can take advantage of associating with Krishna simply by hearing about Krishna. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is specifically meant to train the devotees so that they can learn how to take advantage of hearing about Krishna and at the same time offer that opportunity to others. That the whole world is facing difficulties only due to lack of Krishna consciousness. If one is not under the internal energy of Krishna by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, then one must be under the external energy of Krishna. And the external energy of Krishna, the tendency, if one is not familiar with the Vedic literature and its directions, or one has no faith in the Vedic literature and its directions, the tendency of the material energy is to bring one downwards, especially in Kali Yuga. that although people are looking to solve their problems, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam. People are sincerely trying to solve problems, but they don't know how to solve the problems. Because they're trying on the basis of what they presently have is so-called knowledge, which is just ignorance. Ignorance in the sense that instead of teaching people to understand that they're not their body, that they're spiritual souls, that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, instead of giving them that faith and the directions how to achieve realization or experience of that knowledge, instead they're giving people faithlessness. Their whole attempt, as Prabhupada once said, is to keep people in darkness. Darkness about spiritual life. Technologically, they may advance from one computer to the next, from one mode of transportation to the next, from one method of video and 3D and movies, whatever. They may technologically advance, but the content of their advancement is simply the same thing. Punak punas charvita charvananam. It is simply glorifying the same eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Maybe in 2D, maybe in 3D, maybe in 15 dimensions. But it's simply the same thing over and over again. That people are not happy eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in 2 dimensions, nor will they be happy in 3 or 4 dimensions doing the same thing. But people are trying to be, they're trying to infuse faith, inspiration, enthusiasm for these things. And then the Hare Krishnas come along and they try to spoil that faith. Therefore, people think that the Hare Krishnas are all negative. The little drop of happiness in the desert that we have by seeing some movie like the Avatar or some movie like that, the little drop of happiness we can get from that, suddenly the Hare Krishna is even down on the Avatar. They appear as if the only happiness the Hare Krishnas have is by negating everyone else's happiness. They're all negative. No eating, no sleeping, no mating, no defending. But we see the Hare Krishnas themselves are eating. We see that they're sleeping. They're mating and defending. They just don't like anyone else to do it. That's all. Therefore, they're always preaching negatively. But the Krishna consciousness movement is actually meant to give people faith as we develop faith, and simply that one can be satisfied with hearing and chanting about Krishna. That one can live in the spiritual energy simply by hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, because one will come to the platform of actually experiencing Krishna. And then one's eating, sleeping, mating, and even defending will all become spiritualized. So we're not decrying the activities in the material world. We're simply saying that those same activities should become spiritualized by adding this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That this is the most auspicious opportunity. Therefore, although we may not experience ruchi or taste when we're hearing and chanting about Krishna, and therefore it may be more difficult for us to glorify the Hare Krishna mantra or become determined or fully dedicated to actually spreading the glories of Krishna. But at the same time, even we have a little faith, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said, that if we have a little faith, it buys us the right to chant Hare Krishna or to hear and chant about Krishna. Even a little knowledge. Therefore, regularly we have the Bhagavatam class and maybe the Bhagavad Gita class. Regularly we're hearing about Krishna just to get a little faith that what we're doing is not something so radically strange that we should be embarrassed about it, that we keep it to ourselves because we don't want normal people to hear about what we're doing and laugh at us, or simply saying, try to convince us that actually we're crazy. No, we want to become at least to the platform of having enough faith that we're convinced that what we're doing is the best possible thing. Our only problem is not that we're lacking something. Our only problem is that we think we're lacking something. We think that there's something else that I have to add on, or I have to arrange in order to chant Hare Krishna nicely. That if I only make my material life better, then when I chant Hare Krishna, I'll be able to appreciate it. No, everything is already perfect. It is a perfect opportunity every moment in the life of a Hare Krishna devotee to directly realize Krishna, or at least make progress towards realizing Krishna just by engaging in the process. The process is absolute and perfect. And the only thing we have to do is train our minds to absorb ourselves in the process. In order to do that, we have to practice the process and simultaneously give up the things that draw the mind away from practicing the process. Then, when we're able to hear, when the holy name is chanted, either by ourselves or by others, then we can actually feel Krishna's presence and we'll realize how wonderful the process is. But even before we can feel Krishna's presence, at least if we intellectually understand the value, then we can, and if we intellectually understand the process, then we can make progress towards one day hearing and chanting and actually experiencing the fruit, which is directly getting the association of Krishna in the mood of loving service. And experience what's advertised as the happiness that comes from Krishna consciousness. Of course, sometimes we say, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, but it's not that happiness can only be obtained when we're actually Krishna conscious. No one can actually be happy unless they're actually conscious of Krishna, and no one can become conscious of Krishna unless they follow the process by which one becomes conscious of Krishna. Therefore, chant Hare Krishna and follow the process by which we become Krishna conscious, and then one day when we're actually conscious of Krishna, then we'll become happy. Otherwise, we may think that the heavenly planets now, so many living entities are enjoying there, and they're having such a good time, and we're struggling here. So, by the good fortune, in the future, by my good fortune, when I leave this body, I'll go and join the residents of the heavenly planets. No, the residents of the heavenly planets, in comparison to us, they're certainly having a better time, but they're not having a perfect time, because they're worried about having to leave their body and come back to Los Angeles and get a job from 9 to 5. So they're praying, after we get done with this, we have any merit left, we can come back to Los Angeles to the Hare Krishna temple there and work 9 to 5 for Krishna. Otherwise, if we think all the heavenly planets, of course, we don't believe it. Most people don't believe in the heavenly planets. They don't believe in practically anything. They don't believe in the demigods. They don't believe in anything. They just believe in technology. That will make them happy. Of course, we're not against technology either, but technology in itself without Krishna is useless. Like anything without Krishna is useless. Living on a farm is useless without Krishna. Living in the city without Krishna is also equally useless. Of course, living on a farm, there's nothing to do, so it's probably easier to chant Hare Krishna in your spare time. Living in a city filled with so-called opportunities, there's probably more opportunity for distraction. But on the other hand, if that opportunity is utilized to engage the same energy in Krishna's service, then we won't be distracted by the energy, and in any circumstance we can remain Krishna conscious. In any case, in order to do that, we have to dedicate some portion of our time to focusing our minds simply in hearing and chanting about Krishna, especially hearing chanting the holy name, which is the essence of what Lord Chaitanya has given us. If we can't chant it, the holy name, but we can't listen to the holy name, it's very unlikely we're going to hear and chant about Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes with any kind of seriousness, which is given in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So first, concentrating on the holy name, and then to help us concentrate on the holy name, we have the philosophy that's given in Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that we can take it more seriously. Seriously means we won't take so seriously the distracting thoughts that come to our minds while we're hearing and chanting. We won't become disturbed by our material circumstances or by other people's material circumstances. We can very, with attention and reverence and the proper mood, hear and chant about Krishna, and therefore take full advantage of the opportunity that Lord Chaitanya and his disciples' succession are giving us. And then one day we'll be able to actually appreciate them. We'll be able to appreciate what the gift that Srila Rupa Goswami has given us, and therefore we'll actually give them all honor and respect that they actually are due. Other than that, they're giving us something so easy, so readily available, we can think, well, it's kind of cheap, so why should I take it so seriously? But one who does take it, just like one time, Srila Prabhupada was giving Jagannath, I forget Jagannath's original name, but Jagannath was initiated by Viparimukya Prabhu. He was in New York. He was the one who helped Prabhupada at the beginning, and even before he had 61 Second Avenue. Anyone remember his name? He was like a maintenance man. Nelson. Not Nelson. Robert Nelson, that's right. Robert Nelson. So Robert Nelson, one time he asked Prabhupada for the Hare Krishna mantra, and Prabhupada wrote it down on a piece of paper. And Robert, or Jagannath, Prabhupada gave him the paper, just like Jagannath felt as if Prabhupada was giving him $1 million. So for us, it's just the Hare Krishna mantra. It's just some, you know, words on the paper. But because Prabhupada had actually understood that there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name, he was actually giving him Krishna. Nothing can compare to that. Just as a sidelight, one time Jagannath asked Prabhupada for the recipe for chapatis. And I guess Prabhupada needed the money for some reason. He asked Jagannath for $100 for the recipe. And Jagannath gave him $100. That was a lot of money, $100. Because chapatis are also very valuable when they're offered to Krishna. So our main task, in conclusion, is for us to realize the value of these holy names that we're actually associating directly with the internal energy, the ever-existing, unlimited pleasure potency of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, when we say Hare, and we're actually associating with Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we chant Krishna and Ram. And if we just value that and try to understand its value, at least practice it, have some faith in its value, then one day we'll be able to realize the value and our lives will become actually perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Why sometimes Srila Prabhupada refer name Bharatavarsha to all world, and sometimes only for India? This is what I hear, actually. Why is it like that?
I guess he couldn't make up his mind. Well, Bharatavarsha, Bharat. At one time, the entire earth was ruled by Bharat Maharaj, and therefore it was called Bharatvarsha. This area at Jambudweep is called Bharadvarsha. But because people became separated from Krishna consciousness, it was more or less not considered, India was considered to be Bharadvarsha because civilization was there. But now civilization has become more spread by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees, and therefore the whole world now can be considered Bharadvarsha, just as it originally was. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.